Greater glory of God. Well done. Well done, church. So this morning, we really are concluding your three-part sermon series on Micah 6:8, which says this. You should know it by now. He has shown you, say it with me, why don't you just do that? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so 2 weeks ago, you started this series off by doing justly. And you talked about living in such a way that it reflects God's heart for those who are oppressed and those who are in need in our community and around the world. And then last week, Karen talked with y'all about loving mercy and what that looks like in practical ways as we walk out our life. And so today, I want to wrap up this whole series by talking about the walk humbly with your God part of Micah 6:8. Now, I got to tell you, this sermon that you're about to hear is a great speech about humility. I mean, wow, it is so, so good. It's like amazing. I mean, you're going to be so impressed when you hear this. Now, how do you feel hearing me say that? What are you thinking? This guy's a jerk. Sounds like bragging. Pat should take his own ideas here. Should practice what I preach, right? Well, okay, so, but let me ask you this. Does your feeling change when I tell you that it was your lead pastor, Lee Bazat, who did all the work and wrote this sermon especially for you? This sermon that I'm about to preach isn't mine. It's his. He did all the work. See, what you might have just felt is the difference between humility and pride. I mean, it's easy to spot a lack of humility in other people, especially when they're standing up with a microphone. It's easy to spot a lack of humility in other people. You know, you can just smell it. It just reeks of pride, doesn't it? The problem is we can't typically smell our own stench when we're being proud. We don't really recognize it. We see it in others, but it's hard to see in ourselves. So, as some of you do know, and if not, you should know, that your pastor, Lee Bazat's father, just died a little over a week ago. And so that's why he isn't here today, to preach the message that he worked so hard on for you. And by the way, do you know how much humility it takes to do all the study, all the prayer, all the writing and the rewriting of a sermon, and then let somebody else get all the credit for it? I mean, you guys, Lee is living out this whole walking humbly with God just by letting me preach his sermon. Amen. You have a great and godly pastor who practices humility. That's what's happening right now. And I read through his sermon just a day or so ago, and I emailed him, and I said, man, this is so great. This is fantastic. And you know what he said back? He said, you know, Pat, you can just preach it as if it was your own. Don't even tell people that I wrote it. I don't need any credit for that. Talk about the epitome of humility. You see, pride always takes credit for self. Humility gives credit to others. So I'm really humble, right? Look. As soon as I point out my humility, it turns into pride, though, doesn't it? I mean, I want to walk humbly with my God. I want to. But I am so prone to pride. I don't know. Anybody else struggle with this at all? Is there anybody else that just wants to look good and get the applause and just tell people how smart and how capable we are? I mean, if so, we ain't fooling anybody because they can smell pride a mile away. And according to the Bible, pride always turns out badly, at least eventually. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And so we don't want disgrace. We don't want any of that, right? So what does it mean to walk humbly with our God? That's what he requires of us. What does that possibly mean? Now, we're going to talk about that, but let's just pray first as we dig into this a little bit. Lord, right now all of our hearts and thoughts are towards Lee and the entire Bazat family, and we pray for comfort. We pray for peace. We just pray that you would wrap your arms around him and around the whole family. And in the midst of this pain and sorrow, that joy would come. Lord, heal their hearts. It's what you do. It's who you are. And Lord, while you're at it, why don't you just do that for us too? We've gathered here in your name. We've sought your face. We've come close to you. Now we pray that you'd speak to us. That you'd help us. We want to walk humbly with you. Help us, God. We just can't do it without you. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Speaking of Jesus. Prior to the coming of Jesus, humility was not seen as a virtue at all. In the Roman and Greek cultures, and really all the surrounding cultures of that time, a couple thousand years ago in the ancient Near East, the records that we have, humility was always seen as weakness. No one would ever say, oh, it's good to be humble. It was always seen as failure to be humble. It was seen as great weakness, not as a sign of strength at all. But you know, isn't it just like Jesus to change everything, even that? He is the epitome of humility. When I think of Jesus, I think of him, you know, it's this paradox, it's this almost contradiction that By not insisting on looking good, Jesus became the most important and most famous person in all of human history. Huh. The great reversal. And so Jesus is our example. He leads the way in what it looks like and what it means to walk humbly with our God. So let's read the words of Paul the Apostle in Philippians 2:3, where Paul writes this, leading up to his description of Jesus. Here's Paul writing about humility and what it means to be humble. He says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And this wasn't just written to the Christians that happened to live 2,000 years ago in that church in Philippi. We know that this is written for us as well. And so, get ready, because these next verses is commonly considered among scholars. This is one of the first hymns or even perhaps creeds or statement of faith that the early church ever said. This was one of the songs they sung. And it was so earth-shattering, it was so mind-bending when they thought of Jesus, and it was so against the culture, it was so different than anything they had ever expected or heard. This was the thing that filled them with the most wonder about Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes on and writes here in Philippians 2 about Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus. Though he was God. He didn't think of equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, like that wasn't far enough. He then went farther. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. Not a hero's death. They didn't think he was a hero at the time. He humbled himself and died a criminal's death on a cross. So, how can we grow in humility according to Philippians chapter 2? Your pastor, Lee, had some inspiration from God to break it down into 5 questions that we can ask ourselves to see, how am I doing in this humility thing? Am I walking humbly with God? And if I'm not, then what are the areas that I can grow in? So the first question about this, for us to ask ourselves, the first question is this. Am I vague about my shortcomings, but specific about my achievements? Think about that for yourself, for myself. I know sometimes I'll be talking to someone whose life is just kind of in a mess at the moment, and they're totally vague and sketchy about their struggles. You know, they might say, you know, I'm just really under attack right now. Or I'm struggling with some things right now, but nothing specific. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, what's the deal? Are you struggling with having that second Big Mac, or are you an axe murderer? What's the problem here? What are you struggling with? Why don't you just tell me? It's good to be honest. It's good to be honest about our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures. It's good to confess our sins. You know, God honors our honesty. And what we discover is that honesty with God and with people opens up the door for encouragement, for prayer, and receiving grace from God and from other people. I mean, don't you honestly respect and sympathize with people who are transparent and vulnerable? Yeah. And don't you just, like, bristle at the braggarts? Right? We think we're trying to make ourselves look good, and all we end up doing is looking like jerks when we're talking about our self-importance and hiding our shortcomings. So verse 3 here, you know, in Philippians, it says, don't try to impress others. If you want to be like Jesus, you want to walk humbly with God, don't try to impress others. You see, humility is vulnerable. But pride never shows any weaknesses. Don't let them see you sweat. That's pride. Humility is vulnerable. The second question that we can ask ourselves to see, how am I doing in this walking humbly with God business? The second question is this. Am I critical of others when they have a need, when they express some need in their life? What are my first thoughts when someone shows and is vulnerable, shows their own weaknesses or their own struggles? That one does seem to sneak up on us when we're not looking, I think. We're not ready for that one. We just kind of catch it maybe in the back of our minds. Maybe we say things like, you know, we would never say it out loud because we're humble. We think it. We say, you know what? You wouldn't have a financial need if you were just better with money. You wouldn't have this problem, right? Or that person wouldn't be asking for healing if they just ate better, like me. It's ugly, isn't it? But don't we think those things? I do. We think, you know, we don't struggle with those things because, you know, we're more disciplined, we're more educated, we worked harder. That's why we don't have those problems. It's your fault that you do. Am I critical of others when they have a need? Because verse 3 in Philippians 2 also says to think of others as better than ourselves. Boy, is that countercultural or what? It's really hard to do. It's really hard to think of other needs, other person's needs first, or as better than ourselves. It's hard to do when we're always comparing our own achievements, our own skills, with those who are in need. Because you know what? Humility doesn't judge. But pride is always judgmental. That's how you know the difference. Humility does not judge someone else's journey, someone else's life, someone else's actions. Pride always does that so that the judger looks better. The third question to ask, am I walking humbly with God? I mean, we think we are. We all think we're humble, right? We're always the hero of our own humble stories. We humble brag and, you know, all of that. The third question is this. Here I go doing it. Do I talk mostly about myself in conversations with others? That's a great question to ask. That's a good inventory to take. That is a good reality check, isn't it? Let me think about my conversations with other people. Am I mostly telling my stories? Am I mostly talking about myself? I mean, we all love to talk about ourselves. Whether it's good news or bad news doesn't really matter. We're just always our favorite subject to talk about. I mean, why not? I am the only expert on me, right? A load of crap. Verse 4 tells us to specifically take an interest in other people. That takes effort. That takes planning. It takes intention. My own dad died just 6 weeks ago, and he was and is my absolute hero. One of the things I admired the most, and I kind of stood in awe of him his entire life, was that he never met a stranger. I mean, he could always find something to connect with other people about. And he did that. He was always asking them questions about their life. He was always, like, curious about you. And it was genuine. He seemed to love hearing your story, hearing about your life. Well, and it was genuine. He really did love people. And he was fascinated by the stories and the experiences of other people. And people loved him for that. When we're not constantly talking about ourselves, when we're trying to draw out other people, people respect and honor that. They'll think well of you. It's not why we do it, but that's what happens. You see, humility makes other people important. Pride is always self-important. My story is more important than yours. My experience trumps yours. I am most important. And so the fourth question to ask ourselves in trying to figure out if we are walking humbly with our God, the fourth question we can ask is this: do I immediately construct a list of reasons why I can't give or serve when an opportunity arises? This question is kind of based in verse 7 of Philippians 2 that tells us that Jesus took up the humble position of a slave, a person who has to do what he's told and doesn't get paid for it and doesn't get thanked for it. He took the humble position of a slave. I mean, that says it all about Jesus' servant attitude. I mean, he washed feet, y'all. And not clean feet. Not feet that been in socks and shoes. Nasty feet. It doesn't get more humble than that. Well, you know what? It does. We'll see that. But what he modeled in that moment was that there was no job that was beneath him. There was no act of generosity that he wasn't willing to give. I mean, he gave everything he had to give his entire life. See, humility always says, how can I help you? Pride always says, you're here to help me. And then the fifth and last question to ask ourselves is this: do I bristle? That's a Lee word, isn't it? You heard him say bristle a lot? I never say that, but it's in his notes here, so I'm doing it. Do I bristle when someone younger or less experienced than me tries to lead me or instruct me? That's a good test of, am I really walking humbly or am I dealing with pride here? How do I feel when somebody younger or less experienced than me tries to lead or instruct me? One of the defining characteristics of humility is teachability. And not just by your favorite author or TV preacher. Who do you allow to teach you? Who am I willing to take advice from? See, when Micah 6:8 says walk humbly, it's using a Hebrew word which means have a submissive mindset. A submissive mindset. An example of that is a submissive mindset doesn't refuse to learn about marriage from somebody who's only been married a couple of years, if I've been married 20 years. It doesn't blow off advice from someone younger or someone older. It doesn't blow off advice from someone who is politically opposite than I am because they're wrong about everything else. How can they know anything? It's absolutely staggering how much we miss out on, how much awesome growth we don't experience simply because we just think we know it all. We think we're superior and we just write people off. You see, humility honors and respects everyone. Pride only honors itself. It's hard for us. This is a tough teaching. It's hard for us because humility doesn't come naturally. I mean, people are proud. And we be people. People are proud. And it's not just people, even angels are proud. You probably know the story. I'm not going to take the time to tell it today, but Lucifer, the archangel, became Satan out of pride. He said to himself, I will ascend. I can run this universe better than God can. Look at all the way he's doing things. Pride went before the fall of Lucifer, who became the devil. It's not just people in general, you guys. It's not even just demons and fallen angels. I'm proud. I want to be noticed. I want recognition. I want you to think that I'm the best preacher, the best Christian. I want you to think I'm the smartest guy in the room. And you probably want me to think that you're the best listener, the best singer. Newsflash, I am way too busy thinking about myself to care about what you're trying to impress me with. I'm already trying to impress you. Heavens, Jesus. And he does. He does help us because, yes, pride comes naturally, but humility comes supernaturally. It comes from the God who loves us more than he loved even his own comfort. The God who, this is what Philippians 2 is telling us. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus. He's talking about the God who ruined his reputation, not just by lowering himself to become human, but the God who ruined his reputation because he went to parties with thieves and hookers. The God who was willing to be brutalized, beaten, publicly slandered, stripped naked and exposed naked on a cross in front of his own mother, in front of his sisters, his brothers, his friends. The humiliated God. Your attitude, wow. Your attitude should be the same as that? That's our model? The humiliated God. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Shame. Humiliation. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think maybe I can walk humbly beside a God like that. I think maybe I can. And so can you. It's worth it. It's the only way to live the life that Jesus Christ offers us. This is his model of leadership. Humility. That's it. That's what he modeled as creator of the universe in coming as Jesus Christ to this earth. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's the Jesus you follow. There isn't another one. There's no Superman Jesus. It's this Jesus, the humble King. You want to know how to be famous forever in heaven? Be humble on earth right now. The humble supreme being promises in this life as well as in heaven to reward those who humbly walk beside him. Because that's the only way we can do it, is beside him. Isn't it wonderful that he's already done it and showed us the way? He promises, he knows this is hard, and so he promises rewards. If we will follow his example, he says in James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace brings humility. Grace comes to those who are humble. Luke 14:11 says that those who humble themselves will be promoted, will be exalted, will be famous, is what it means. Proverbs 11:2 says that with humility comes wisdom. When we stop acting like we know it all, we start to know it all. Humility brings wisdom. And Proverbs 22:4 says that the reward for humility is riches, honor, and a long life. I mean, everything we're trying to get by self-promotion and being proud, everything that pride promises but never delivers, God promises humility will give you that. And so, as we're done with this part of the service this morning, as we're closing today, it's probably a good thing, since humility is so foreign to us, it's probably a good thing for us to just have a couple minutes of quiet reflection. Maybe let's just ask. Maybe let's talk with the humble King. Let's just ask him things like, are there areas where I'm trying to impress others? And I'll bet you he'll bring it to mind, not because he's mad, not trying to shame you or anything, but because I want to walk humbly with him, and we don't know what we don't know. So God, show us. What are the areas where I keep trying to impress other people? I criticize others, either to their face or just silently to myself? Am I critical of their faults and their failures and their struggles? Do I think I'm superior because I don't struggle with that? Or am I a critical person? Am I constantly judging? Does my talk often center around me? When I'm with somebody, am I doing all the talking about how great and wonderful I am? Am I the hero of all my stories? Show me why. Do I always have an excuse for why I can't give or serve other people? Am I constantly thinking, not my job. Somebody else is getting paid to do that, not me. That's beneath me. I'm much too fine of a person to pick up that trash. Am I always looking for excuses to get out of doing something that will make me look, I don't know, poor, unemployed, unimportant? And Lord, do I bristle when you're trying to teach me something from an unlikely source? Am I open to hearing from you through anybody? Help me, God. Help me. So, Lord, you've made it clear the last 3 weeks or so that what you require of us is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. You made that clear. And so we're here today. We believe it. We want to do it. And we know that we can't do it without you. Thank you for promising us that you will walk with us. We're walking with you. You're a half step ahead on this humility thing. We're just walking beside you, watching how you do it. And so, Lord, I pray that today, for all of us, that we would be aware, that we would be mindful of our interactions with other people, of our quiet thoughts, and all of those things. And we want to look like Jesus. We want to be the aroma of Christ. We want to smell like Jesus to the world around us. And we can only do it if you do it to us. And we're pledging right now that we'll cooperate as best we can. All because of Jesus.